Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here today to recap such a thrilling episode, a Monday night episode of Big Brother 22, All Stars 2. With me today is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
Taryn, God damn it. I've been gone for about a week on vacation, and this is the big episode that I come back to. This, spending 20 minutes, like with Christmas, agonizing on whether or not she's going to be put on the block because it's so important for the final four nominations that she doesn't be put on the block. You brought me back for this. All right, I'm back.
He's back. All right, also with us is Mel. How you doing, Mel?
Fine. You know what? I'm just really frustrated. I'm frustrated that you introduced Brent first, and I thought you were going to introduce me first, and I'm just really frustrated.
That's the way you play, though, yo. It worked out perfectly, yo. That's it.
But I need you to know how frustrated I am. So frustrated.
All right. Also with us tonight is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm really good. Happy to be here. This season's been so long. It's got...
We don't have dramatic music.
That was bizarre. Like, I want to talk about that because I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yes. All right. Well, I am filling in for Rob tonight. Unfortunately, he had a death in the family. He is okay. He will be back on Wednesday, but he was not able to make it tonight. So I'm here in his place to talk about a silly game show. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And a silly episode of a silly game show as well here tonight. That it really felt like a recap of a recap more than it felt like an episode here, Brent.
Yes, exactly. I'm telling the chat that because they're all giving their condolences to Rob. I'm like, Rob is fine. Mm-hmm. Obviously not fine, but he's going to be back on Wednesday. And until then, Taryn is filling in. Obviously, the episode was like a recap of a recap is very apt because that's how it felt watching it. So many of the things that they were talking about were things that, like, you know, we have long since thought about insofar as, like, you know, when this HOH competition took place, obviously last Thursday. You know, we know that there's been a veto competition since then, and it's just funny to go back and listen to the musings of all of these contestants when you know that half the things that they are saying don't really matter, and the other things that they're saying are they're just saying for the cameras. Like, literally, I don't know if Nicole was saying at the beginning of the episode, actually, what I really want is for Enzo to win HOH. Fast forward 5 minutes, and she's ranting about the fact that Enzo is trying to win HOH. I'm like, honey, this is good for you. If I was in the diary room, I would be like so happy that Enzo has decided to be selfish for once and that he's going to win HOH because Enzo guaranteed he was going to win HOH based on his moves during that Night Moves HOH competition. But
that is, like, what was so confusing, right? Because Cody was so upset. He's like, I can't believe Enzo would be so selfish. It's like, I thought Cody wanted to not win the HOH because then he can play for Vito and whatever, maybe like have a chance at making a move.
No,
versus
what
HOH
Cody
is
wanted,
just safety.
No, what Cody wanted was Cody wanted to have it all. He wanted to get Christmas out, team up with Enzo, and then win HOH and make sure that Enzo was vulnerable, not Cody being vulnerable at the final four. Because let's face it, if Christmas wins the veto at the final four, she's gonna evict Cody, and Cody knows it.
Yes. All right, Matt, it's time to put your boss pants on.
Ooh,
what did you think of this HOH competition?
You know what? But the HOH competition itself, the episode involved, there was a lot that was brought up, mostly just about Enzo and whether or not he did the right thing. Honestly, I feel like I don't know if everyone else got the point, but I think Enzo might have been on Nicole and Cody's bad side. I just wasn't too clear on that.
Yeah. Might have been that way. I do want to say that in talking about last week, Nicole mentions, she says, hey, I did everything I wanted to do last week. I put up Memphis. I got out Memphis. He was a big target. And, you know, nobody's been able to do this before. Nobody. Memphis. I had Memphis sitting on the block on eviction night for the first time in his Big Brother career. And look, I've been sitting on this all season long because if Memphis wants to lie about this in the house and it doesn't make the show, that's fine. But this is not true. How did this get through? Memphis sat on the block week 4 on eviction night in Big Brother 10.
One of the biggest evictions ever. What is she talking about?
I understand. I get it from Nicole's perspective, because basically what's happened here is that Memphis has been saying this all season long. He's been saying, I never sat on the block on eviction night because I always won the veto. And I just kind of assumed he was either lying or maybe he just forgot. But for Nicole to repeat it, I get it, because she heard that from Memphis so many times. You're not going to doubt the person that's telling you. But for them to air it, like, where's Julie Chen to come in and say, hey, actually, week 4, Memphis, you survived by one vote. It was America's vote. What?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I feel like this episode was a perfect example of just the editors phoning it in. Like, I don't think they even noticed that that was a mistake. And by about, I'd say, 40 minutes in, they were just kind of throwing together things off the cutting room floor. And so...
We need another 15 seconds. Sneezing, sure, throw that in there.
Take it. I'll take it. But we can't handle the lies anymore. It's been a long year in Big Brother, and otherwise, maybe.
We can feel comforted in the fact that Nicole has joined the elite ranks of April from Big Brother 10 as an HOH that got Memphis to sit on the block at the on eviction night. So,
We can see why she's so proud about
that. Something to be proud of. Yeah. So it's time to play chess, not checkers. Let's get into this HOH competition.
Yeah, even as it started, I was thrown off by one thing, which is Enzo saying he's really good at setting traps with no context at all. And I'm from New Jersey, and I feel like there could have been some context there, because there's a lot of questionable stuff that could potentially be happening. And I don't want to call it out because I'm a little worried for my safety in this case. But
you mean like bear traps?
I'm not going to touch. Sure. Bear traps.
Okay.
Traps not set by humans who have pretty negative and dark intentions. Yes, that's exactly
right. Okay. Someone from New Jersey is going to have to PM me after the show and talk about what's going on here.
Don't worry.
We'll just talk about bear traps.
Yeah.
Bear traps.
Well, we can talk about this competition. I have to say that the line of the night for me in the chat is Doom Tribe, who said, I love this competition, but like this season, it did not deliver. And I share that opinion. This was pretty boring.
What could it have done, though? What could be better than... So you wanted Christmas to win? That would have delivered?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Christmas would have won. That would have been freaking great with me, because that would have just denied Cody what he wanted. He would have had been stewing for a week over the fact that Christmas has a guaranteed spot in the final three, and we would have got to tell Cody, no, you do not get everything you want in this world, Mr. Perfect, even though you hate your nose, okay?
So the funny thing about that is he's so mad that Enzo didn't try and help him box Christmas in, but I thought Enzo made a really good point when they were talking about it, whereas if I don't know if he was lying at that point, but it's like if you are both trying to corner Christmas, you run the risk of boxing each other out. Like if you're all trying to move in L's in a little corner, like there's a chance Christmas could just be like, oh, look at this one square. Let me just get out of here while you guys hang out in here. So I thought it was really cool from that standpoint, where like, yeah, you can target someone, but it's not so easy as just like in Survivor when they have the challenge. It's just you move one and you flip, and it's so easy to box someone in. And this one was a little harder to do.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Also, it should be noted, I know some people are saying that going last is a huge advantage, and obviously Enzo did go last. But going first is also pretty cool, too. And I say that in this respect. If Cody and Enzo had decided to team up against Christmas and both try to box her in, if Christmas makes a quick getaway and is able to move like one L-shaped move out of the corner of where they are boxing her in, they might be shit out of luck. So I actually think it was a good idea for Enzo to sort of, you know, get on the side a little bit and create his own path. Look, the one thing Cody cannot have is Christmas win HOH. That didn't happen. He should shut up and be happy.
Seriously. Yeah,
that was one thing that threw me off about this episode, and specifically the HOH, other than the fact that it went on so long, we kept hearing different ways that Enzo was messing up for everyone, was just the fact that there wasn't any like any of the dummy music or anything in the background, like potentially questioning if Enzo had the right strategy.
Right.
Again, there's maybe a little bit phoning it in, but I mean, maybe we could give the editors the pass on that.
It was such an interesting focus. Like the whole, like it was a long competition and the whole time was spent just like alternating confessionals. Be like, I can't believe Enzo is doing this. I can't believe he's trying to win. Like, how dare he? And it just kept going. And I was like, okay, why also, is this so bad?
I have to point out too, like this is how bad it is right now because they basically showed this entire competition, Taryn. Like this was not like Big Brother 6 where they sort of fast forwarded and like you saw the people fade away and enter new positions through the edit. Like they basically showed the entire freaking competition from the start and you got to see their confessionals along the way. So obviously they were trying to fill an hour episode here. No surprise there.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it was just me, but the other thing about the comp was that we're looking at the board and, you know, at home, we're trying to figure out what's going on, what's the right move, and they just keep cutting away from the board.
Right?
So
I couldn't see the board.
Figure out what the right move is. And that went on for about 25 minutes. So, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have anywhere else to be, so it's fine. But
I do wonder if this is actually more important than we might have suspected, that that Cody being annoyed with Enzo, you know, for this competition, it doesn't really matter. For this week, it doesn't really matter. But one of the questions that we've been asking is, who does Cody choose between Enzo and Nicole, assuming he makes it to the final three and he has to choose between the two of them? And I've kind of been along the line, thinking along the lines of, I think Cody probably takes the person he feels the most indebted to. I lean more toward Enzo, but then Nicole wins a couple comps at the final five to keep Cody safe. And now Enzo is kind of snaking him in the HOH competition and he's trying to convince him to take out Nicole. Like, is this actually actively harming Enzo's game that he might not be taken to the final two anymore because Cody feels like, well, Nicole was more of a team player. Did you hear Nicole's diary rooms where she was saying, I can't believe Enzo not being a team player. I would have done the exact opposite of what he did. It's very much, you know, corresponds with what she was saying on the feeds, that she was very upset with Enzo. She really genuinely felt like, what? Why would he do that? Yeah. So mean.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to come down to that or not, because then you saw Cody trying to tamp down on some of the anti-Enzo rant by saying in the diary room that he doesn't want to be part of that. He doesn't want to give in to that. He doesn't want, like, if I were him and I was truly feeling this way, I would want Nicole to be as anti-Enzo as possible, but he really didn't want to take part in that. So I am not convinced yet that he's going to take Nicole to the final two, hoping that Enzo gets taken to the final two. But like anything on this season, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, something I've heard Enzo say a lot beyond, that's what I'm trying to say, yo, that's it, is that nobody can out-sneaky the meow meow. This is not the first time he has said this, that it, way back when he won his first HOH, he talked about how Danny was trying to be sneaky and that he was sneakier. You can't out sneak the meow meow. Why does Enzo care so much about being like, why is Enzo the sneakiest of the sneaks? Where did this, who, like, when did this become like the most desirable adjective? Like, I am the sneakiest.
It's a Jersey thing. It goes back to that. And it's a, yeah, there's a lot that happens in Sea Caucus. And Bayonne, oh my God, the nipple factory. It's, yeah. I honestly, I have no clue why he's obsessed with being the sneakiest. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, it maybe, what I think it probably is just, it's on brand. It's the meow meow. And if you can't be anything else as the meow meow, which is so easy for me to say, you might as well be sneaky. So that's, I really couldn't think of a logical reason for it. And I've been trying to wrap my head around that for a while.
So my question is Enzo knows what the end game comps are, right? Like, does he think he can win an endurance or a question comp? Like, isn't this kind of it? Like he wins this comp and then what does he have to be sneaky to? Isn't he just trying to get it so that the other people were going to take him? Because he doesn't, is he going to win? I don't think Enzo's great at these kind of competitions.
Well, yeah. I think yeah, Enzo's the kind of person in his bio probably, and maybe in his final two speech, he's going to say, look, yo, if I had to describe myself in three words, yo, it would be meow, meow, sneaky.
I know, right?
No nipple?
No nipple. That's four Tyler's words area. Nipple.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think I'm with Taryn on this one. Like, Enzo doesn't think, like, I know that we've said that there are some people in the season, like Cody, have been thinking like from A to B to C and thinking a few moves ahead, that was always Kacer's thing. He's trying to think a few moves ahead.
Enzo, is thinking at final three, at final four, a few moves right. ahead? I feel like that's the next logical step.
Just, it's like, it's too big of a jump from him, man. Like, he's trying to think about like the next day in front of him. That's all he can do at this point. I'm with you, though, Mel. Like, I don't think that Enzo is the odds-on favorite at the final three. Like, obviously, he's guaranteed final three now. Who he's up against is still to be determined. But, like, even if it's someone like Christmas and – obviously, I don't think it's going to be Christmas and Cody. It's either going to be Cody and Nicole or Nicole and Christmas. Like, because Christmas is going to evict Cody and Cody's going to evict Christmas. Obviously, I think Nicole would evict Christmas. She should evict Christmas anyway. Or she should evict Cody, but she's not going to.
Heart attack.
Yeah, no matter what configuration, I think it's going to be those – three kinds of pairs. And at the end of the day, I don't think Enzo's favored in any of that. So I know he was trying to pump himself up when he came back into the house after the HOH competition saying, you know, I made the final three again. You know, very few people can say that on two seasons. And I'm like, that's great. But you haven't won. You haven't even got $50,000 yet. So hold up, Madge. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about this competition is that every single time, without fail, Enzo goes one, two, three.
Right?
he still needs to count it out after this whole time.
Right?
You just want to double check. You don't want to lose count.
It's just an L. It's like I have to do is make an L. That's
actually, Taryn, I think he's just bragging because we know Cody can't count to six. And Enzo's like, yeah, well, I can count to three. So that's like, you know, basically
say,
halfway there.
That was the hard part about tonight. It's like, okay, who's going to mess this up first? And I was amazed that Enzo was the genius in this competition.
It's because of the counting, yo. That's it.
Oh my God, the counting.
He's not very good with the counting, Taryn. Enzo is so bad at math that he has to get naked just to count to 21.
Oh.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for laughing.
I'm racking my brain, Brent. I don't know if it can be explained, but I haven't figured it out. I will say, though, before the podcast started, I did go one, two, three. Okay. We're good. We're good. All right.
Oh, gosh.
So Enzo does, in fact, win this competition. It's because Cody has sacrificed himself.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons why this wasn't the most thrilling outcome in the world is because on Thursday night, before we knew the results, I was on this podcast saying Cody's probably going to decide to, go after Christmas to the detriment of himself, which is going to leave Enzo as the winner because this competition is truly the kind of competition that favors the person who is exactly, this is Enzo, this is built for Enzo, that the person who literally just stays out of things, let the other people go after each other. It's that gif from Mario Party where Luigi, I think, is just sitting there on the ball and everyone else just runs right off the edges, and that's Enzo just sitting there. And the problem with
that's the first time that gif has been used to describe Enzo this season.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say, yo. That's it. Is that Enzo's game. And the problem with that kind of game is that that it can only get you so far most of the time. But actually, you know, in recent seasons, maybe a little bit further. But Enzo's going to win this. And he's very proud of his wins. Now, you don't you dare question Enzo's competition wins, because he's got four wins now, yo. Four wins. That's what he says. Four wins, and that's because he had the HOH, he had the veto, he had the safety suite that Cody informed him. He said, you know Memphis threw that, right? And he's like, nah, yo. No, Memphis. What? No, yo. Memphis, he's too big. He wouldn't get through those lasers, yo. But I recall watching Memphis speed through that thing and then sit down for like 10 minutes.
Aren't Memphis and Enzo like the same size?
Memphis and Enzo?
Yeah.
No, Memphis is way bigger.
Yeah.
He's got 40 pounds on him.
I mean, like maybe height-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like
I never noticed.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So Memphis threw the safety suite that he's counting that as one of his four. And then this competition, it was just literally just built for him that Cody cares more about taking Christmas out. That's two of the competitions. Another one of the competitions was the one where you stack things. And in that competition, it was really about other people screwing up, like Kevin, like Tyler. And then the HOH that he won was the one where you're rolling the balls up the thing. And I'll give him that one, even though it's one of the more crapshooty kind of competitions. At least
he did. Those math graphics? It's obviously very complicated. Not yes. At all crapshoot.
But that's Enzo will get very upset with you if you call his competition wins into question. So we're not going to do that on this podcast.
No, never. We would never call him into question. And it's four wins. They're his wins. He won. He counted right. He's great at counting, as we know from today's comp. And I think the other piece of it that I appreciate is just like the fact that he feels so solid and comfortable in his wins probably is a testament to someone. I'm not sure whether to give that credit more to Cody. I have a sense that maybe Cody's allowing him to feel great about these epic wins that he's having. And, you know,
not this one though. This one, Cody's very, very sad. Cody.
No, he is very, he's angry. Cody.
They're, angry. Yeah. Cody. Frustrated. Cody.
Frustrated. Yeah. Jealous. Cody. Maybe. Eventually.
Who says Cody doesn't have a personality?
Yeah. A lot of people. But you know what? Well, I mean, we'll leave that.
Yeah,
Cody's at his best when he's mad.
Mel, you tweeted earlier that Cody just he loves to talk about how frustrated he is, and it did make me realize that Melissa, the queen of being frustrated, is actually a Califuri sibling. I never made the connection before, but it makes so much sense to me that's where she was getting fed. She was in on the Zoom calls prior to the she knew the boot order. That's how she was able to call it.
Yes.
Does that mean she's kissed Papa Califuri on the mouth?
Oh God.
I mean, look, we can't speak for Melissa.
Okay.
Melissa.
Yeah. Aaron, do you want your $100 back now that you were a victim of pre-gaming?
Yes, it's not even fair. It's not even fair, guys. I deserve my $100 back. That's exactly what it is. Christmas is very upset about this HOH competition because Cody, why did Cody come after me?
Why is he chasing me?
In a competition of three people, he came after me? Why would he do that?
I was confused about why she felt the need. Again, we're at Final Four, and she felt the need to have a conversation and confront him about it. I'm kind of racking my brain. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish here? What are you hoping to find out?
Christmas doesn't think that far ahead. That's the thing. She just, I don't know, tunnel vision on person against me, need to figure out. Right. Yeah, no, that was terrible.
By the way, do we question Christmas's starting spot at all? Like, I actually like she went to the corner of the board and boxed herself in on like two different sides. If I were her and I had first choice, I picked the very center spot of the board because then no matter where people go, you still have options.
Yeah, she's free reign of this board. And she chose almost the very corner, which would have been the worst case scenario. If she had done that, like if Enzo had been working with Cody to take her out, they could have easily just like planted themselves immediately in two of her, like what, four options.
Yeah.
And she would have been potentially in a lot of trouble really quickly. I don't think it matters too much overall. But yeah, I mean, in general, like you're going to give yourself a massive advantage if you start with the most amount of maneuverability. And it prevents Cody from following you as much. If you start in the center and Cody is in any direction, you can now go in the opposite direction of Cody and kind of like run around, kind of like then, you know, cut over. Whereas if you start in the corner, then you're stuck moving around while he can keep the center position and lock you in. So anyway, I agree, Brent.
No one was thinking about that. I mean, maybe the closest to the center was Enzo, so maybe that was on his mind. But I think we're expecting a little bit too much of the players in this one.
I did think it was an interesting twist because we were talking about, like, what are the starting positions going to be with three players? Are they just going to be assigned positions? But getting to choose it was a great way to make that work.
Yeah, really, the optimal spot for all of them would have been just like the three in a row in the center, wouldn't it? Because then they could just scatter. Like if they were playing for themselves and they wanted to just have the most ability to move, then you start as close to the middle as you can. Next to each other doesn't matter because you're moving in an L. You're not taking up anyone's spot.
Yeah, I hear you on that, but I like better allowing them to choose because it
no, no, I'm sorry. I mean, they should have chosen those center spots. Like, I would think, okay, even if there's someone in the center, you say, well, I'm going to go right next to them because it's not like they're blocking me at all. They're still the whole board.
They probably feel like that they're close to them, even though they're not really. Like,
well, then that's
right
dumb, and they should think more.
I know, but they're not known for their smarts. What can I say?
Yeah, I like that. So Christmas is upset with Cody, and she tells us, she says, I'm very upset. I don't know why he's so pressed on me, but I need to keep it calm, play it nice. I don't like playing nice, but I'm going to because that's this game. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drag him into a room and go, so why'd you come after me in the HOH competition, Cody?
You know, Taryn, that tracks. This is nice Christmas. We've seen not nice Christmas.
Like,
this
was so dumb. Did anyone feel like they got more dumb listening to this Christmas Cody conversation? For
real.
If these people had any cojones about them, they literally would have just said, okay, I know you want me out. Like, all Cody has to say was, look, honey, I know you want me out. That's why I went after you. All Christmas has to say is, I'm coming for your ass. Because they both know that is the reality of the situation. That is the reality of the situation. If they win the veto, they will evict the other person. And there's nothing that they can do to change that. This is not something where it's subtle. This is not something where, like, maybe you can make a play here. Literally, it's the winner of the veto is going to determine what happens. And we already know what each of them wants to do. I don't know why they don't just go into the room and say, look, I know you want me out and you want me out. That's all you have to do. And it makes us feel better. It would make them feel better. I think they would get along with each other more. And it would, like, stopping all of these niceties. Look, you can be nice to someone and still give them the tea. Like, Cody has to know that Christmas wants him out of the game. Yes. So why not just say it?
See, I disagree. I think it's always worth trying. This is no downside to just keeping it ambiguous. As soon as Cody says, I know you're coming for me. I'm coming for you. That's just where it is. Then, like, that's a relief. That's a weight off of Christmas. Okay, now I know for sure. Now I'm locked in. How many times has there been a player in Big Brother that we have expected them to do the obvious move and then they don't? Because they're dummies.
Not often.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess I'm just coming at it from the standpoint, like, this is just so obvious. Like, Cody is such a threat. And obviously, keeping Nicole would be fantastic for Christmas. That, like, they might as well just come out with the tea.
I mean,
Taryn used the Among Us example a couple days ago, where it's like, even if someone saw you stab someone else and says to everyone, I saw that person stab, what's the harm in just saying, no, I didn't? Just try. Like, they're trying something. It's like, it's the kernel of something. It's like, it's totally final. If they say, yes, we're coming after each other, nothing's changing, then that's it.
But see, I don't think it is, though. See, I don't think it is final. If you say, look, I'm coming after you, you're coming after me, then you can see what the results of the veto are. If the veto comes back and Christmas wins the veto, maybe you can make a play and say, look, I know I said I was coming after you, but, like, you're
after the veto, though, you'd have to do it before the veto.
You're limiting your options at that point, right? Like, it prevents you from going down certain avenues that were potentially more effective.
I don't care about these people. I care about us, okay? And I got dumber watching that conversation.
Yeah,
okay.
To that point, I feel like you could, if you're Christmas, you could play this as if you're trying to win and try something and attempt to navigate this, or you could realize that you're probably screwed anyway. So how do you approach this in the way that's most interesting for us and could result in you coming? Like, there are so many different approaches, but if I'm Christmas, I think you just have to realize at the end of the day, you need to watch the Legacy Watch. You need to pay attention. You need to realize that this might not be your last Big Brother game if you play your cards right. And that's the thing that's a little tough to watch, because I feel like we always come down to the final four at some point in a season. We always have a chance to see these players navigate in difficult situations. And, you know, they usually make it a lot more interesting than this one was.
What is Christmas's optimal play here? Like, it would still be a boring play, but should she go to Cody and say, hey, I noticed you were coming after me, but like, I want to work with you, yada, yada. Like, is that no point to do that at this point?
I mean, for Christmas, yeah, go for it. The problem here with Christmas is that I think that she believes in this moment that both Enzo and Nicole are on the same page in terms of evicting Cody. So if Enzo wins, he'll leave her as the vote. And if Nicole wins, she will hopefully take out Cody and not her. And so there's not a lot of reason for her to ruin that, to ruin those two people in order to try to win over this one person that she wants out anyway. But if she was aware of the reality, which is that everyone is going to evict her, she needs to win, then she might as well start trying to pitch something to someone. And if she knew the further reality, which is that just basically Cody and Nicole and Enzo are never going to cut Cody, especially here at the final four, then she would have to go to Cody and try to, you know, throw somebody like Nicole under the bus for the things that Nicole has said about Cody. Just try to get him to not trust that Nicole is willing to take him to the end, something along those lines, and promise him like, look, you know, I'm a loyal person. I named my kid Loyal. I was the person that gave up my spot in the final three last time. I'm willing to do that again. I'm willing to take you because I respect the strong players, and I want to go to the end with the strongest player, and I know that's you, and I'm not going to snake that. I would not be worthy. I would not be a worthy win. It would not be in the honor of CrossFit, so I would never do it.
And also, she could talk about the fact that last season, like, you know, I was aligned with the last season I played. I was aligned with Paul. I wanted Paul to get to the end. Paul was clearly the mover and shaker of that season. I wanted him to get to the end. So, like, she could use something like that. But like as Taryn says, she doesn't have an accurate view of the game board and the motivations of the people that are currently in the game. I will say that I don't really totally blame her, because
I was going to say the same thing. Like, of all the things that I blame Christmas for, all the very valid things, not realizing that the other two won't cut Cody is not one of those things, because should be cutting Cody.
Obviously, they should be cutting Cody. If I was Nicole, I would definitely cut Cody here. It's a huge hide on your mantle, and not only that, you get to take Enzo and Christmas to the final three. Same for Enzo. If you get rid of Cody here, I know he thinks that Cody's going to take him, but Cody may take Nicole. With Cody out of the game, Christmas, I think she could take Enzo, and Nicole, I don't know. I guess I see it more from Nicole's standpoint than from Enzo's standpoint. But on the other hand, from Enzo's standpoint, he has to be worried about Cody. You know, if he gets to the end, no matter who he's sitting next to, he's going to be the winner. So I you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, and I think the other point of that is that, like, there is a point when you're strategizing where you kind of just you hit all of your roadblocks. You have no way to get out of the situation you're in. And I think that a lot of what I was seeing in today's episode, even though there wasn't a lot going on, was just that Cody made it so far, a lot further than he should have. And I think that's just one of the problems, and something that, you know, it, to me, it seems inevitable that we're going to have Cody as the winner potentially. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of moves should have happened a while ago. And that's, again, why I don't blame Christmas or really any of them for taking a shot that probably wouldn't be effective and might just result in them going out at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, because even that speech I gave that Christmas could have given to Cody, whatever, it doesn't mean that I think it's going to work. But I am always of the opinion that, like, I don't like it when somebody says, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, because a lot of players say that and it's not true. And we know it's not true, but they don't know it's not true. And that's why I feel like you might think in the game, it doesn't matter. I might as well just be honest. I might as well just be upfront or whatever. And you don't know something. You don't know that secretly Nicole and Cody are really mad at each other right now. That's not true, but it could be true and she might not know about it. Right. And so I really, that's why I always feel like you just might as well leave it open. You might as well just throw as many Hail Marys as possible because you might just get lucky and strike something you never even knew was there.
I will do one correction though. You said something like it always matters. The final four nominations do not matter. Big Brother, stop trying to pretend like they matter. They don't matter. There's no drama there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. We say this every year, that the final four nominations don't matter. And yet, in the game, the players, it always matters to them. It doesn't make any sense.
It matters from an aesthetic point of view.
Cody doesn't get to be nominated.
Yeah, the only reason that Cody cares about this and the only reason that Enzo didn't do it is because Enzo knows that if he puts Cody on the block, that breaks Cody's streak of never being nominated this entire season, that Cody won't be able to use that if he gets to the end. And that's why Enzo didn't do it, because he doesn't want Cody to be mad at him.
And but Christmas should not be crying after being nominated at Final Four.
On the other hand, Christmas was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how much time we spent on this. Like, literally, she's talking about Enzo betraying her. I'm like, honey, you don't even know betrayal. Like, I honestly want Enzo to win the veto so then she could feel what the betrayal felt like when Enzo leaves her on the block. That would be
actual betrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole betrayal thing is just over the top. But before we get there, we would be remiss to skip over the celebration that Enzo and Mulan had. It was very touching. He comes in. I told you, Mulan. I told you I was going to win that, yo. And Mulan did not believe that he was going to win. She didn't believe in him. But he pulled it out, and he won.
Jackie!
I know, I'm like, who, is he calling for Jackie, the actress? Or, like, right? What is going on?
Final three! Let's go, yo! Let's go!
Of all the ridiculousness of Big Brother, I love when they make friends with the inanimate objects. You can tell they're going absolutely crazy after 75 whatever days. It's just, I love watching him talk to the cow. It's great.
It's pretty sweet. It's sweet. I love it. I love
Mulan, we did it.
When is Mulan going to be like, Enzo, we told you to cut Cody. That's what Tyler and I talked about all the time.
Like that's really my worst nightmare is if things go the way I think they're going to go and Cody wins Cody wins the veto and Christmas goes home this week, or Nicole wins the veto and Christmas goes home. We get to the end. Enzo has a chance to evict Cody if he wins the final three HOH and he doesn't evict Cody and then Cody wins. Like, wow. That's really going to be a tough one.
Brent, we're talking about a happy HOH moment. Don't bring us down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I thought you were upset with Mulan, you know, giving this
Mulan did nothing wrong.
Come on.
Mulan.
Jeez. Animal rights.
This is what I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah.
All right. So
hold on. Side note about did they start wrapping the HOH baskets? That happened last week.
When did that happen? I thought there was a baby in there. I really did.
It's a Fabergé egg. Like, what is?
Why would they wrap up a baby? It couldn't breathe.
I thought doesn't Enzo have kids? Like, how old are them again?
You thought they shipped him a child?
It would have been fun.
Friends, I'm concerned.
Coming to steal the title from him. Yes, we're getting to see the HOH room. Hey, who wants to see my HOH room?
I felt like Enzo was really stalling for time here. There was a lot that was going.
We got a lot of that music, Matt.
The glasses, and then he was like, "Oh, Team Enzo, Team Enzo, Team Enzo, Team." Yeah, like I think they were telling him to stall for time. That's my theory.
Who needs to tell him? They could just edit it.
No. It was clear.
One of my friends mentioned that they were surprised that in the photo with the Team Enzo shirts, they were surprised it didn't say Team Cody, because it seems like Enzo's just Team Cody at this point.
There's Photoshop.
They did say Team Cody.
There you go. Okay, so it's Big Dilemma. Sunglasses on or off while reading the letter.
Yeah. Because, you know, it'd be terrible to cry. You don't want to show any softer side of you. You got to embrace your toxic masculinity, Enzo. You don't want everybody to see that you might cry.
No teapots.
Shut up already. No one cares.
No.
Cody is like trying to rip the sunglasses out of his hands.
Yeah.
We want to see your tears. see your man tears.
And yes. I don't think he cried. That was the sad part. I was waiting. Right. I was just waiting for a little bit of a tear.
And right? I thought he was going to cry when he said daddy. Because that's how kids talk.
That makes
sense. Mulan was crying.
I do call my dad daddy, though, so I guess that's not totally true. Okay, anyway.
All right.
I can't hear daddy without thinking of that Taryn clip.
Okay,
I have the Zaddy calendar right here, so that's where I'm
not
about.
Sorry.
This is what he says. He's talking about the Team Cody shirt. He's talking about his kids. And he says, my kids, yo. All the money is going to my kids, yo. The title, that stays with me. The title stays with me. Like his kids are going to be like, daddy, we want the title, too. He's like, no, kids. No, yo. This one's for me, yo. That's it.
Someone tried to do that on Survivor. Maybe they say, dad, if we give you $40, will you call us the winner of Big Brother? Worth a shot. You always say it. You say it's always worth a shot.
It is. Yeah. There you go. He might just take it.
Yeah. Well, he said no.
All right. We get this funny scene where Enzo is trying to convince Cody to take out Nicole this week instead of Christmas. It's like, we take out the better player, yo. Who's the better player, Nicole or Christmas? Nicole's the better player, yo. That's it, yo. And it's just this back and forth where Cody is just not even remotely considering.
I loved it. Thank God. Somebody finally talked turkey. Cody was just like, dude, like you're an idiot. Like,
there's no world where I evict Nicole over
Why
Christmas.
Why in the world would it be good for me to evict her? Like, I mean, maybe it'd be good for you, but I mean, that's the part that he didn't say, which obviously is implied, but you gotta start thinking about yourself here.
Yes. And then we get to the second half of the episode.
Riveting television.
Halfway there, we did it.
I will say I did like this first segment, at least, of Cody talking about small talk.
That was amazing. The first line of the scene was Christmas asking, have you ever done a talent show? And I was like, well, I'm just gonna turn this off, like, this is gonna be garbage, like, they're gonna talk about nothing. No, it was really good.
Yeah, it's a perfect representation of how everyone has felt in the house, especially around Christmas, and it's a perfect representation of, like, you know, I have had to listen to Christmas all season.
Right? This was for you, Taryn. They did this for you. Yes, I like this segment very much. It was very funny because, like, you had, like, Cody's confessionals interspliced with the whole thing. And the funny part is, like, he's like, okay, I know I'm going to regret asking this question, but do you remember any of it? She's like, oh, yeah, I remember some. She gets up and she starts, like, doing her, like, you know, thing, like,
surprised she didn't just, like, rip off her shirt into, like, her show costume and be like, I know every step, let me show you, like, she's so ready for it.
Oh, that'd have been good. But no, she couldn't remember the steps, and she's like, I gotta remember the words. And then Big Brother tries to give her, like, Big Brother is so funny, like, they try to give her a little bit of the music of a few of the chords, but not enough so that they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, for one, there's nothing, definitely nothing more interesting than talking about talent shows that happened possibly multiple decades ago, but
dreams are more interesting.
That's a whole segment on the slop.
Well, yeah. Look, oh my
talent
God,
show is no. Second most interesting, though.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm all about talking about talent shows and watching Christmas try to remember the steps. But it was, they did do her kind of dirty with that one.
At least so
she let us know that it was Proud Mary, and then be like, maybe there's a chance. But I don't think that the beat was there. And Brent, I don't know if they did anything.
I just love how, like, you could see the pain on Cody's face.
He couldn't even pretend to care. He couldn't even, like, do a real laugh. He was like, oh yeah, like, that's great.
All of us.
Do you remember any of them?
She, like, caused him physical pain to ask the question.
She never figured it out. Like, maybe in the next episode, we'll see the whole, like, all of the choreography and be real.
Oh, I hope so.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe she'll do it on the live show, actually. And then we'll get some chords we're not supposed to get. She'll be bleeped for singing Proud Mary horribly. And it'll be great. It'll be a fun time for all.
Looks
yeah.
We're building to it. We're building.
I will now be disappointed if we don't get it. So you've hyped that up for me.
Please. Please. Oh,
that's so funny, guys.
This is, like, the most personality we've seen come from Cody all season, and it's from not doing anything.
Right.
And it, you know, we were just talking on the roundtable about like Christmas and her lack of self-awareness sometimes, and this is a perfect example of it, where like who does that, like who is talking to somebody on the couch and they're literally having to work themselves up for 10 seconds before they go, what do you want to do it? And you're like, well,
funny you should ask.
If you're gonna pull my leg on this one, then sure. And then you go up and you do it, and you don't even remember it. And you're just like, it was something like I
can't remember the words.
It was like, I just need the lyrics. If I can just remember the lyrics, then I can.
Director, what were the words?
Yeah, I can. So it was something like this, you know. You're getting this, right? So, and he's just like staring at this, you're like, yeah, it's so funny.
And this whole episode, we heard a lot of complaints from Cody, and we heard a lot about the things he doesn't like, including his nose. And I just feel like I'm really curious to hear what he's good at and about his hobbies and talents. I want to know what his talent at the talent show would have been. And I feel like we have that cliffhanger. But we're going to hear all the talents that he hates before we hear the one that would be his go-to.
What do you think his talent would be at the talent show?
I don't know if he has talents, to be honest.
Loving himself.
Looking like Derek? No, acting like Derek. Derek, like a puppet master, or is he the puppet? He could be a puppet. There we go. Mm. Being a puppet attached to puppet strings. I don't know.
He's a great actor.
There you go. He is an actor. That's like, what we know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm. He's great. He's great at Big Brother. Well,
he's good at Big Brother. You don't have to stumble over that. He's good at Big Brother. I don't know if he's an elite player, but he's good at freaking Big Brother. Can we just stop with the pretending that he's not good at Big Brother? He's good at Big Brother.
I hope so.
What I really liked about this scene was that it really could double as a representation of the audience watching Big Brother this season. Like, who won the HOH? Well, you see, we have a whole half hour segment about this. This is the HOH competition. Okay.
Oh, wow. So great.
And here we are like, man, wasn't that funny?
Oh, look, we got a teapot segment. Look at Enzo doesn't know what a teapot is. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Well, okay. Great segment. Great Cody and Christmas segment. Now we're moving on. New segment. Okay. Just had a goofy segment. Time for something serious. The music is building. What is happening? The music is building, and it's still building. And it's still building. And I'm getting uncomfortable. This is like,
nervous.
Stop.
It's got too much sunscreen going on.
You built it too much. There's not enough room left to build. What are you doing? There's no more room. And it still goes. It's still going. And Nicole's just spritzing. Spritzing herself.
Just a spritz of sunscreen.
It's still going. The music is still building.
Like, Matt, you had it. Dude, it was like seven sneezes in a row. And they were like
that was real. I can't redo that.
It was
that.
Ridiculous. Like, you guys, I'm so glad that they included this because I never noticed it. And I'm so glad they included, because for real, this was bizarre. I've never seen anyone sneeze like this before.
You were the single only person who enjoyed that segment tonight.
I did.
Big Brother,
because,
we found him.
Like, has she sneezed without even freaking breathing? It was like she went, Hush, like, and she did it seven times in a row. Like,
did you count
I
those?
Sneeze.
You can count higher than Cody.
Huh? Right? I sneeze the way that I podcast. I take one big breath, and then I let it out, right? I don't understand how she did this.
You're one of those people that go like, achoo!
Yes.
Oh. You yell your sneezes. Oh.
You commit.
I don't know if
you're
focused
about them. You're dedicated. What matters.
You get seven out at once.
Honestly, I was worried, and the whole segment, it was like an experimental art film, like a Wes Anderson, like
cut. Yes.
And I actually loved it. I loved it. It was my favorite part of the episode because of all of the things we just got to see Nicole sneeze, no context there, you know, and it was relatable. Who here hasn't sneezed before? The seasons are changing. Like I've been sneezing a lot. So it happens, Brent. Not everyone's as good at sneezing as
you know what? Man, Nicole sneezes.
Yeah,
I sneezed.
Oh my goodness, we're like twins.
I love Nicole. I love Nicole. She's my. I officially stan her after this episode. After the sneezes, she is a relatable queen. She BB 22.
You know who I've never seen sneeze? Janelle.
How many sneezes does Janelle do?
Does Janelle even sneeze?
She's never sneezed.
But she does half sneezes. So she has to do like 14 sneezes to get there.
What I was going to say was I did not like Nicole because of the sneezing thing. I loved Nicole because of the ending when Nicole was like feeling her oats.
Okay, no, we're not done with the sunscreen segment yet. But I just want to say
about Nicole, like I love Nicole when she's like that, when she's just like I'm going to win this game and I'm going to win it again, just like it did before. And then Taryn, like, she undoes all of it by going, okay, Nicole, calm down. I'm like, no, don't say that. Like,
okay, question for you. Do you like when Christmas does it? When Christmas does her dialogues to the camera, she's going to get competition Christmas.
No, because she hasn't done shit. Nicole's actually won before. Yes.
Christmas won a comp. She worked very hard for it.
No, Nicole's won the game before.
Oh, the game.
Yes. Five comps.
Christmas could have won the game, but she gave it to Paul because she's a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the narrative, at least.
Exactly what happened.
Whoa, that was crazy, says Nicole.
Yeah. Right? that's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
So then we find out about Cody's deepest, darkest insecurities, and it's his nose. Your nose, yo!
This is so dumb.
I've never looked at his nose that much, and now I feel bad because I'm like, am I supposed to hate his nose too? And
I've never noticed it before because like the rest of Cody looks really hot, so I've never really noticed his nose before. Yeah. But then like he's turned to the side, like I'm doing right now, and then he showed it, and all I could see from that point on was his terrible nose. Why did you point it out?
It's terrible. It looks
all
fine.
All of the angles.
What is terrible about it? It
looks like an upside down ski slope. Like, no.
Wait. Yeah. If you learn anything from this podcast, you should learn to never open up about your insecurities. Keep it bottled in. Don't tell anyone or that's all they'll see about you.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Mel, I cannot look at him now and not see the nose.
I don't know what terrible noses look like.
Did you not see his nose?
I couldn't not see his nose.
It's a hump. Like, it's not shaped like normal. Normal noses are like a ski slope. Like,
nose shaming right now.
Very
how dare
subtle,
you?
Like, ski slope, okay? The people that are like the big honkers have like a mega ski slope. But Cody's is like the reverse. It's like instead of an innie, it's an outie. Does that make sense?
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Enzo's not a fan of Odie's, so that must be why he doesn't like Cody's nose.
See, here's my thing.
A lot of body part
conversations. If the conversation had been reversed, if it had been, what are you most proud of on your body? And Cody had said, my nose. Love my nose. Think it's a great nose. See my nose? Isn't it great? I would have looked at Cody's nose and been like, yeah, it's a great nose. But he said it was. He said he hated it, and I was like, "Yeah, I guess it's not a good nose,
right? Yeah,
you know what I mean? I have no idea. It's like if you tell me something's good, I'm gonna be like, yeah, I can see it.
Like we were told, Enzo has great feet, and now everyone loves Enzo's feet.
He does. He has great feet. Cody has a great nose. Like, let's just accept it. For one, I'm wondering why there's so much nose-focused content in this episode, and I feel like it's worth discussing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if someone in the chat could let us know if it's National Nose Day or what's going on, but I think it's intentional. I think there's something going on here that we might not be thinking about and seeing.
I think Enzo's just trying to take some of the heat off of his feet. He's just like we need to talk about noses now. But yeah, I will say, in seriousness, it was very rude of Enzo to laugh at Cody saying he's self-conscious about his nose. Like, why are you going to do that, Enzo? This is just more of Enzo's teapot, sunglasses, laugh at your friends' noses. Like, let's be a little, can we get a sensitive side here, Enzo? We don't need to be macho all the time.
He was just maybe crying about his kids earlier. That was enough nice Enzo content. Now he needed to come back and be mean Enzo. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick what people you think are your friends say about your nose. So
I want that on a t-shirt.
We'll print it. We'll get it printed.
It's very concise.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of it. Then we have a banana fight.
There were bananas.
Yeah.
In fights.
The worst part of this is she was going to throw those bananas out. You chuck those bad boys in the freezer, you make banana bread in a couple days. Don't throw them in the garbage.
Fair point. Yeah. My mom used to do that all the time.
Banana bread's pretty good.
Yeah. No, but instead she had to, I don't even know, was she chasing him with bananas? Did he not like the brown part of the banana? Was it goopy?
She was trying to carry them off. And they were going to like fall off, and she was like going really quickly. And she like rubbed it against his sweatshirt. He was like, "Oh, you got it on me."
Got what?
From there, it
banana peel
the
germs?
The banana gush.
Banana juice.
It was so gross that it had juice coming out of it. Already?
Did you see? Yeah. She was literally holding it by the top, and they were just falling off. Like on
the
ground.
Well, I did. I thought they were just old bananas. I didn't realize they were like melting. Jeez.
They're melting.
They have nothing to do in this house. They're talking to a friggin' pet fake cow. They can't pay attention to their bananas and freeze them on time or eat them on time. It's unbelievable. These house guests.
And Cody hates the smell of bananas.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, there's so much nose content. Like, why, am I the only one with this conspiracy theory? Anyone else freaking out right now?
The smell of bananas makes him nauseous.
That's weird. Are there any food smells that make you guys nauseous?
Yes, but not bananas.
Okay, what's
bananas
an example?
Reveal that.
What food makes you nauseous?
Honestly, I don't have a food, but like I've definitely smelled something gross and been like, ugh.
Okay, well, gross food, yes, but a normal person food, a smell.
No,
about,
not like a normal person food. I'm not weird like that.
Okay,
like Cody.
Friends, does a normal thing that someone would eat make you nauseous to smell?
Can't really. I mean, I'm allergic to nuts, so like that's like a definite kind of nauseous.
Fair.
But like,
if you
honestly,
die, if you'd eat it, you're fine. You can be nauseous by it. I'll allow it.
No, I have no tolerance for Cody's nauseous.
Sometimes the smell of chocolate is very strong, and I'm like really just like, oh, get it away.
I don't know if that's a popular opinion.
I think
Taryn.
You're alone in that, Taryn.
Yeah. What?
People hate chocolate. People are totally with me on this.
Did you put that as like an answer on the Legacy Watch? Did we miss this?
Everyone agrees with me on this. Everyone hates chocolate. That's the thing.
Oh,
how dare you?
Okay, Cody. Just telling people what they believe. Okay. I see you.
All right. we then get Enzo talking to Christmas, and she comes up to talk to Enzo, and he's in the bathroom jamming out to music, just jamming out to music. And then she falls asleep waiting for him. He comes out. He's like, oh, sorry, yo. I had to go to the bathroom, yo.
I'm just surprised that she didn't walk in and we didn't get the music. And that was a little bit disappointing for me. I love the Christmas jingle as she walks in on Enzo. I'm glad it didn't magically happen during his HOH reign, but I was expecting it. I feel like there's all this stuff that's been built up and I just want it to pay off.
Here's how we knew it wasn't going to happen. We didn't get the theme song for Christmas walking in on Enzo. And so we were getting his music.
That's when I knew.
So. Yeah.
Have we ever gotten this much bathroom related content on a season of Big Brother? Is that
probably
where we're at now?
It's actually more common than you might think.
I was going to say, it's
I mean, I've
common.
Seen it. Maybe I've just wiped it from my memory.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't wipe. Yeah, it's a bad verb to use.
Oh, no. I've removed it.
Spritzed it.
That's worse.
I think we could go. Yeah, I don't know about this one.
Enzo tells us in the diary room, he's talking about Christmas being in the final two. He says, "Hey, yo, sitting next to Christmas in the final two doesn't seem like a bad idea, yo. She wins, she takes me."
Yep.
That's it, yo. This is exactly what happened last week with Nicole, when everyone was like, "Oh, Nicole's gonna take Christmas," but like she also carefully worded it. She wasn't even willing to take out Enzo this week. She had to be, well, if Christmas wins the HOH, then I get to take out Enzo. Yay. And like, you know, hey, if I get to the final three with Christmas, great, they both take me. And then, you know, if I sat next to Christmas because she won, great. Like, you realize that
there.
You don't have to just let her do the work. You right. could actually win yourself.
It is boggling to me. I'm trying to figure this out, Terrence. So they have to, I mean, maybe they don't realize this. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. So I've been gone for a few days. Do they realize that Christmas is the jury goat? Do they realize that Christmas is the person of the four of them that would get the least votes
yes.
in the final two? Okay. So why do they not want to keep her in? Is it because they feel an allegiance to this threesome that they've created? It's like a team game. Or is it because they're not sure who Christmas would actually take to the end and they don't want to be beaten by somebody who they feel is less worthy?
For Enzo, he wants Christmas in. If he could make it happen, he would. For Nicole, I think it's just loyalty. She wouldn't burn Cody like that.
That's so bizarre. How does that happen? Like, how much has she, like, I know that they were on the same season together, but I don't understand, like, has she interacted with him much since BB16? Like, no. Are they that close? It didn't seem like they were.
Their moms are close.
She has her own man now in Victor. Cody has his own girl. Like, I just don't understand why there's this allegiance to somebody who is clearly the odds-on favorite to win the game. If Nicole should do anything, it is she should win the veto if she can and evict Cody, take Christmas to the finals. That would be the move, especially if she took Christmas and got rid of Cody. Christmas would feel indebted to her. And the way Christmas plays with her son named Loyal, like, she might actually take Nicole to the final two. If Nicole said, "Look, I'll keep you at the final four as long as you take me to the final two," I think Christmas would agree to that and she would do it. But she won't even, like, Nicole won't even entertain the possibility of doing something like that. She won't even entertain the possibility of getting Cody out. She doesn't, like, I think she's actually dumb enough to take Cody to the final two. Like, if she survives and makes it to the final three and has a choice at the final two, sorry, at the final three HOH, I think she evicts Enzo and takes Cody to the end and loses to him.
Just baffling to me because, like, we know that Nicole has that instinct to win. We see it sometimes and she's won before. Granted, it was, like, in a similar situation where she would have taken Corey. Yeah, she's taking Corey's and Cody's. So it's just like, why is she not talking about it now? Is she talking about it and they're just not showing it to us? But, like, she has to realize that, okay, she has to be thinking, what is my best chance to win right now? So what is she doing to get to that point? And we're not hearing any of it. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and that's the piece I'm most confused by, because we're I mean, you've already put it out there that it's so obvious. But to me, as a viewer, it's just painful to watch because everybody, literally everyone who's watching sees it, knows it. You know the backstory. You don't right. see it coming up in conversation enough. Like, it's almost as if people have forgotten that they played together and it's just we're at a loss a little bit for some solid strategy, or at least the idea that they are making these decisions in an informed, strategic way.
We did talk about this earlier in the season, that the way that Nicole operates in the game is that she finds reasons for herself to justify doing wrong to others, right? So, like, she will take a slight, like Bailey saying couple tries, couple guys, and okay, now Bailey is my target, and she works against Bailey. Ian burns her. Okay, Ian, Danny, Cody says Danny's told him some things he didn't tell Nicole. Boom, Danny's dead to me. Now I'm going after Danny. That is how she operates. She finds things to latch onto that make her feel okay with doing bad things to them, aka making personal game moves. And so, you know, even when she was HOH, she was like, oh, I hate this. It hurts so much to put Memphis and Christmas on the block. This sucks so much. But I know. Memphis put me on the block. Christmas tried to vote me out. Okay. It still sucks, but at least I have something that makes me feel a little better about it. And so that is how she plays. It's very difficult for her to make moves, to betray people, to do those sorts of things. And she has a whole system of rationalization that she uses to get herself to that point. And Cody hasn't done something that she can latch. If Cody did something that she could like really latch on to, I think she would be like, oh, ultimate betrayal.
Like if Cody had tried to win the HOH for himself, oh, that would have just been terrible.
Yeah. But he's smart enough not to do that. And so he's going to be able to make this work, I think. And I think that is just the thing, that she has a lot of trouble, quote unquote, betraying people. And I don't think this, like, if anyone is taking this to mean that I'm like complimenting her in some way, that is not the intention.
Turns now into Cole Stan.
It doesn't mean that she's like a too good a person or anything like that. If anything, it's worse because, again, like she's finding reasons to skirt around her own, you know, empathy. I think that's it. I think that is the thing, that she has a lot of trouble making these kinds of moves. And it's very important to her to find reasons to do them.
Taryn, is the mom stuff our best explanation right now? Like, do we need to get their moms on to figure out what the dynamic is? Because I'm mostly serious about this because I wonder what are the relationships that each of them have with their moms. Cody's a Jersey boy, so I already know he's into his mom. But I don't know about Nicole's relationship with her mom. And I just feel like we could probably figure out a lot about this. I don't think I would stab someone in the back if I thought my mom would be upset. That's me. I'm a Jersey boy. Love my mom.
I mean, I also think that, like, Nicole, there are certain archetypes that she is more willing and likely to trust and feel good about.
They're white.
Men.
you know what I'm talking about. I think that really helps. Nicole and Cody did have a conversation this week about how he didn't really trust her at the start of the game. In fact, I don't think he trusts her literally as we speak. Whereas she was like, I always trusted you. I mean, there were a couple moments where you didn't tell me everything and I was upset about it, but I've trusted you. I think that's what it is. So that's where we are. So we finished the episode. Enzo nominates Nicole and Christmas. He keeps Cody's streak alive. Cody and Enzo still at this point have not been nominated all season long. Nicole tells us she's ready to win again, ready to make this happen. Brent loved it.
And then Sheen does it. Like, it's like the Dan thing. Like, Dan Geeson and I always talked about this, how, like, you know, you like, if you're like the HOH and you're the tiebreaker and you vote to evict somebody, you say like, Mel, I vote to evict you. You don't then say, oh, but I'm sorry.
Own your shit.
Don't do that. Yeah. You're on freaking television. Sorry.
Yes. And then we hear from Christmas. Okay, I can't believe Enzo is betraying and backstabbing me. So we had the wise guys together. I don't understand.
Girl. Even though I wasn't a guy, I was still a wise guy.
Christmas has never, she still was under the assumption that it was the only wise guest alliance.
Oh, honey.
Bless her heart.
She's doing her best. She really is.
Yeah. So that's
also, so Enzo was wearing a brigade shirt, but it was a grenade.
Yeah.
I think he's worn that before, but it's the first time I noticed. What's up with that?
It's the brigade.
A brigade. That's what Brittany always called it, remember?
But yeah. It's a brigade.
The grenade is just an A,
but it looks like an O.
It's not well designed, Mel.
No, it's not. No.
Look, Enzo is not a graphic designer. He's a crayon salesman.
I don't think he made that shirt. Well, yeah.
Slash rapper. Slash meow meow.
Be on top of your brand.
Slash Dwight.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe someone will make a shirt for him. I feel like we have a lot of shirts in production.
Yeah, we got a lot of good designers. I'll see what they can come up with. Something better than Brud. Grenade.
The Brigade. That's what Brittany called it. When they told her what the deal was, the Final Four, after she lost the veto in Big Brother 12, they sat her down and said, we've had this whole alliance from the beginning. It's called the Brigade. And so she was mad for an hour, and then she adapted to it, and then she decided to make a shirt that said the Brigade. And so it's I think it's his way of honoring Brittany.
Wait, so is she getting royalties from this?
She should.
Oh my god.
I miss when she was doing her little eviction things with her stick figures.
I think she's with us this season just.
I know, but yeah. Hope she does it next season if it's fun.
All right.
We probably will need it next season too.
Okay. Well, that's the episode. We still have some spoilers to talk about if you're ready. If you are right now listening to this podcast, you've got sunglasses on and you're lying on a couch and you're just like, all right, who won the veto? This is the opportunity to find out. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining us on the recap. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you guys on the live feeds. Although if you're bouncing out now, you're probably not listening to that podcast, but you should. And tomorrow night we're gonna have the Stockwatch roundtable, and on Wednesday Rob should be back to recap the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother 22. But now we're gonna get into some spoilers. I don't have the song for you guys, but I someday I will.
The Office of Civil Defense is
someday
issued the following message.
I'm gonna make a big move.
A spoiler,
and I'm gonna bring the song.
Is a spoiler.
A spoiler.
A spoiler.
A spoiler.
We basically just did the song. We're just like Christmas. Acting out the song. We knew all the words.
I did bring the song.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. You just heard it.
Look at that. Yeah. Acapella. Great job. Let's see what's more.
All right.
Right.
And now things go downhill as we talk about the veto winner.
We're about to reveal the veto winner, and it is a doozy.
A doozy.
Just like this season.
The winner.
If you could have predicted the person to win the veto, that would make things utterly pointless and for us to talk about strategy or any sort of machinations that the players could do moving forward, who would it be? It would be Cody. And guess who won the veto? Cody.
If it was Christmas, I was going to have a Christmas sweater and a hat and a tree, and it was going to be great, but it was not. Yeah. It was Cody, and I got nothing for Cody except I should have sunglasses and a boring hat. I don't know.
Sunglasses and a hat.
All right.
Doing that with your mouth. Cody is the winner of the Final Four veto. And I made this joke on the update, but that's all we got. The season's over.
We did it.
Bye, guys.
All right. They're writing his name on the check already to save time. And
what are our only hopes for some drama here? So let's say Enzo wins the final three HOH. Would he evict Cody? Is there any possibility? I know I've listened to the recaps, and I've been caught up on the feeds. It seems like he realizes that he's in a really tough spot here, and he does not want to be a part of just handing Cody $500,000 at the end. So
I think he's more likely to do it than Nicole, but unfortunately, I think he's less likely to win the comps.
Right.
Yes. And I also think that more likely still at this point means just still negligible. He seems to recognize he literally told Christmas yesterday. He said, man, only 9 days left, yo. 9 days until we give the check to Cody. Oh, that's it.
Right.
But so he's cringy. He's saying that because he knows, I think, that he can't take Nicole in his mind. In his mind, he loses to Nicole as well. And so he knows that he's going to give it. He's going to take Cody. And he just needs to hope that he beats Cody, and that Nicole is probably also going to take Cody, and that Cody will beat her. But if he takes Nicole, then he will potentially lose to Nicole. So he might as well just take Cody. And it frustrates him to know that means that Cody is basically going to win this game. But it's in his mind, I think, the only path forward. And so I fully expect Enzo, at this moment at least, to be taking Cody to the final two. And I also fully expect Nicole to be taking Cody to the final two. Again, even in the diary room, neither of them are even willing to entertain the idea. None of them are willing to even say the words, "I could cut Cody."
Right?
So, it's crazy that they aren't even faking it.
It is boggling to me. Like, the odds on favorite to win the season, and neither one of them are really thinking about evicting him. Like, that's just boggling to me. Like, Cody has put himself in such a fabulous position. It's like, how is this possible? Like, did Enzo make a mistake, Taryn, when we were talking about this on the live show 2 weeks ago and he had a chance to get rid of Nicole? Did he make a mistake there? Because now he's in a situation that is virtually impossible.
I mean, I think if you go back, you
results
can obviously
oriented.
You can look at it and say probably, but like, there were a couple moments here. Like, if Christmas does win this veto, Now Enzo's looking a little bit better. Say Christmas wins that last HOH. Enzo's looking real good now. Because Christmas wins that HOH. She was one ball away. Nicole wins the veto. Cody goes home. And now it's Enzo, Nicole, Memphis, Christmas, and Memphis, for whatever reason, still wants to take Enzo over Christmas, and Nicole is a little bit on the outs there, and it's just, things are looking pretty good for him, and he was very close to that happening, and on top
of
that,
the story of this season,
yeah,
just everything has been so close to happening, and literally every competition along the way, you know, Janelle got 11 points, Tyler got 12 points,
we got the one Davon win. And Big Brother said, enough.
Davon, well, yeah, I know, right? That was the highest point of the season for me, was Davon winning veto and saying, fuck you people, I'm going to use it anyway. Seriously. Right. That was the best, because everything else has been like, whatever.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. If Enzo goes the other way, he votes out Nicole, he goes with Tyler, I think we're having the exact same conversation, but with Tyler. I'm assuming Tyler doesn't leave, that in the jury, they're saying, Enzo, he's just doing whatever Tyler wants. Tyler's running this game. Enzo is still unable to win any of these competitions. And either way, one of Tyler or Cody was going to probably win out from this point. And Enzo, what it really comes down to, because we can blame it on the move all we want because we didn't like the move. But what it really comes down to is that Enzo hasn't won enough competitions. He needed to win more of these competitions. If he did, he would have more of a chance to beat Cody in the end, because he does have a better social game, and he does have better relationships with many of the people on the jury. The problem is that they don't respect his game, and they don't respect his game, one, because of the move, but more because he just hasn't been able to win anything.
He has won four competitions. I understand where you're coming from in terms of, well, you know, this one was given to him and then somebody threw this one. But still, like, that's not how, for the most part, that Big Brother players evaluate competitions. You got four wins. Nobody looks back at Christmas's HOH and says, well, she doesn't have an HOH because she didn't earn that. She still freaking won it. So he's got four wins. If Enzo's able to win the final three HOH, that would be five. Cody has, what, seven? Or eight?
It's seven. I disagree, though. I don't think it's about... I agree that they're willing to count whatever. But I think the reason that the competitions actually... they're nice to have. It's nice to say, I have seven, I have five, whatever. That helps. But the bigger thing that helps is that the competitions make you seem like a better player. They make you seem more powerful, because you have influence over the game. It's a very obvious way to show that you made a dent in the game because you did a thing, right? Enzo's competition wins were a veto he didn't use, an HOH where he took out an obvious target in Kacer, a safety suite that didn't matter, and the final four HOH, which didn't matter, and he didn't get his way. He didn't do anything with the competition wins. And when somebody else has more competition wins and they did do things with them, like take out Tyler and take out Christmas and so on and so forth, like, I think Nicole gets a lot more credit than Enzo, even though she only has two wins, and that's because she actually accomplished something. She took out, for as much as we made fun of her, she did take out Memphis. And that, I think, matters. And so, you know, you have people like Devon in the jury saying, I want to give Enzo my vote, but like, he needs to win something. He needs to do something. And you can't really do anything unless you win a competition that allows you to do something. And that's where I think it's failed for him.
Just to be clear, yeah. If he won Final Three and evicted Cody, he
wins. I think so.
But I don't think he wins.
Why is he so upset about that? Like he thinks that Nicole would get like Danny's vote, even though he's not aware that Danny's currently anti-Nicole. Like he thinks that Kevin would be more apt to vote for Nicole.
The worst thing Nicole did was after Danny left, tell Cody we were actually friends on the outside, because Cody didn't know. And then Cody told Enzo, and now Enzo knows, and Enzo is just taking. He's now saying Danny's an auto vote for Nicole, which is a reasonable assumption if you're given that information. But it doesn't seem true. I mean, granted, I would say that he definitely, that Nicole definitely has a shot at getting Danny's vote over Enzo, because it's not like she respects Enzo either. But I think that Enzo is expecting Danny to be in the jury house, like pumping Nicole up, like this for sure vote for Nicole.
I don't understand. It seems to me, and he may not even have this choice. He has to win the Final Three HOH, which is a long shot to begin with. But if Enzo wins Final Three HOH, he has to evict Cody. And I know he's like, there's a part of him that's at least thinking about it, because two reasons. Number one, that would be the biggest head on his mantle if he could actually get that done and show them that he can actually do something with his power. Number two, if he sat next to Nicole, he'd be able to make an argument to the jury like, look, like, I'm a family man. This is for my family. She's already won $500,000. I made the Final Three twice in my only two seasons that I've been here. I won five competitions along the way. She only won two. Like, and I took out the biggest player of the season in Cody. Like, he has to have enough confidence in himself. Here's the thing. Is there a part of Enzo that's like, okay, if I don't win, I want Cody to win? Because like that's the whole Lil thing from Survivor Pearl Islands, when she didn't make the move she needed to make to take Sandra out because she didn't want Fair Play to have the money. So is there a part of him that's like, well, if I don't win, I don't want it to be Nicole. I'd rather it be Cody, because I hate it when players are like that. That's not, because you have to be selfish in order to win these games.
I'm sure that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just say, I mean, like that, unironically, that's it. Like that, I think that's what it comes down to, where it's like, who does Enzo prefer to win? Who would he respect more as a winner? Who would he rather lose to? And I think one of his faults is just that, sure, he's won the comps. He's won. Great. But ultimately, like, this is a place where he clearly, and I'm not sure how clear it is to everyone in the jury house, but it's probably pretty clear based on the fact that they're already seeing Cody as that winner, that, you know, he probably should have put Cody up in this place. And regardless of what happens to Enzo, or what happens to Cody really after this week, whether it's Enzo and Nicole in the final two or Enzo and Cody in the final two, it's a huge strike against him that he didn't take the obvious shot. And then it makes me start to question, what are the other opportunities he missed? Cause he had a clear shot. Cody wins the veto here, so maybe that's not actually, you know, gonna turn into anything. Maybe there's no fire for that smoke, but I think that's something for the jury to consider.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm actually fine with Enzo's move here to not nominate Cody, and the reason why is because he doesn't know the result of the veto yet, because he needs to stay on Cody's good side in the event that Cody wins Final Three HOH and makes it to the end. He doesn't want to do anything to disrupt the trust between him and Cody. He already did that a little bit during the HOH competition. He can't then do more of it with the nomination. So I'm fine with him leaving Cody's streak intact, giving Cody what he wants, and saying, look, we're boys. Like, I was working for you during the HOH competition. We didn't want Christmas to win. That's what we got. And then get Christmas out at four, then go to the final three and say to Cody, like, look, dude, I'm still with you, because that's the fallback plan. If Enzo doesn't win HOH, he wants to make sure that Cody's going to take him. If Enzo wins the veto at Final Four, which obviously he didn't do, but if Enzo wins HOH and then veto at the Final Four, then he can take a shot at Cody, change the nominations, then put Christmas as the sole vote to evict. And obviously she would get rid of Cody if he wanted to do that. But I'm, again, in this universe where he's taking Cody to the end, I'm totally fine with the nominations that he put into place. I don't think he could have done anything else.
Yeah. And additionally, it's an argument to Nicole in the final three. You can't take him. He was never nominated. Just like, I mean, I was never nominated, sure, but he has 7 wins. I have only have 4. He's never been nominated. Like, he's got nothing. There's nothing that's more appealing about Cody, taking Cody. I'm not the sole person that's never been nominated. There's something there too, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we talked about this on the roundtable as well. I think that the problem is that it's hard to cut your friend. It's hard to be working together with somebody for 80 some days and supporting each other. You're your only support system. You've been trusting this person, relying on this person. They've gotten you to this point to turn around and go, thanks. Stab. It's a hard thing to do. People can do it. I'm not saying it's not something that people can do, but it's a hard thing to do. And because it's hard, it requires more certainty. It requires more reason to build yourself up to do it. And if Enzo is concerned that he, like, if it was a given, if it was Victoria or something like that, like, if he knew he would win against the other person, it would be a lot easier to say, okay, I stab Cody, I win. But the fear of stabbing Cody, doing the thing you don't want to do, but feel like you might have to, stab him and then also lose, and now you've really made a fool of yourself. I think that is, it adds more barriers to the decision being made, unfortunately. And something else that we talked about was that on top of that, that's not the move in recent seasons. And nobody has cut their alliance member in Big Brother since Steve did it in 17. Since then, they've always taken the person that they were loyal to. And in all of those cases, in many of those cases, they ended up winning still. And in the one case where it didn't happen, Big Brother Celebrity 2, when Ricky cut his allies for his enemy, essentially, for the easy win, he lost unanimously.
Isn't there one more, though? Like, I feel like Big Brother 16, where Cody took his best friend to the end rather than the person he should have taken to the end, where he would have won the game. Like, isn't that a good example, too?
I think it's too far back. Right. I really do. I mean, sure, Cody is sitting right there, but like, it's not, you know, like Casey takes Tyler. She wins. Jackson takes Holly. He wins. Not that he shouldn't have necessarily, not that any of them should have, but, Josh takes Paul. He wins. That one, everyone was like, because that was the one that was way back when we were like, you never do this. This is what you'd never do. And when he did it, we were like, what? You idiot. Everyone online was screaming at Josh. He just Cody'd himself, he lost the game, and then he won. And then the next season, Casey does it, and she wins. And then the next season, that is the zeitgeist. That is where we are in the meta of Big Brother right now, is that it's not the norm to cut your ally, and that's going to make it harder to do it, in my opinion. Not just because of the results, but because it's not something that's often done. When the last three seasons, the final three, the person has cut their ally, then it's like, well, that's what everybody does. But when the last, you know, 3-4 seasons, they take the person they're loyal to, it's like, I'm not going to be the one jerk. Like, it's harder. It's harder to go against the grain. And there are so much grain piled on top of this decision.
Yeah, I guess the silver lining for this can be that if Enzo does win and take Cody and Cody wins unanimously, then next season, this season's already a wash. Next season, maybe we won't see the same thing happen.
Yeah, and I'm with that logic. I think it's that hope that something will be different. This is All Stars, right? We're gonna see some innovation here when it comes to the Big Brother game. I'm losing hope.
No, Taryn and I were talking about this. Like, how do we change the narrative? How do we change the meta of the community where, like, where backstabbers are not rewarded? We want people to play hard. We want people to backstab their allies. We want people to be cold and ruthless and self-interested. How do we get people and juries to reward that? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it does kind of, a lot of it does stem, and we've talked about this as well. We talked about it with Tommy, that just the way that social media interacts with the show, I do think it damages the show a lot in terms of the people who come off the show. They want to be influencers. They want to not displease the internet. And the problem with the internet is that it comes at you from all angles. And so trying to not displease anyone means that you do nothing. And so we get a lot of people who go and they just like, I'm just gonna do nothing. I'm gonna not displease anyone. And it used to be that people would go on the show to be actors and be personalities on TV. And the people, personalities on TV, were the big bombastic characters. And so people would go on and they'd intentionally be like, over the top, I'm gonna yell at people because that's what makes you popular. But nowadays it's not the case. What makes you popular is here's my showmans, and we're going to sell you some things because we're great people.
Right? Yeah, I got it. How we can fix it. We have to start an influencer war, pit influencers against each other, make them fight online, and then maybe they'll fight in the game and say, see, I can keep up with the influencers. I can fight too. Influencer battle brawl. We can do it.
Trademark.
Maybe they'll cast different people. Maybe I'm hoping that they realize that this season was such a bore and that they don't want this kind of game. They don't want these kind of players, that they should want people who are more self-interested, more ruthless, more cold, like willing to just get rid of anybody. People like me.
They're willing to throw narratives out there. With the edit, they're willing to edit it the way that you want, right? The way that they want. So if they're going to do that anyway, if they're not going to be super like strict to this is exactly what's happening, then let's take a stance on this in the edit, in the way that the show is presented. That's what Survivor does. Survivor yep. heavily rewards the big players that betray people and make big moves. Jeff Probst himself comes out and says, big moves. What's yep. your big move? What's your yep. resume? And that has become part of the narrative of the show, and it has made the gameplay so much more interesting, in my opinion. Right. I think that's more of what we need.
That's what Probst always says. The thing that he said that really hit me the most about like the kind of players that they want on Survivor is he always tells players to play the first time as though you're playing for your second time, meaning that you want to play as big and as bold and as amazing as possible to get invited back so that people remember you, so that you're not just fading away. You're not just in the wallpaper or the couch or the lamp or something. You want people to play as hard as humanly possible so that, hey, I even though I was only there for what, 17 days or something, like I did enough to get invited back. People will remember that I was on that season because of X, Y, and Z, not just somebody who was there.
Yeah, and you have Jeff Probst there reminding the players along the way, sort of nudging them and making them, you know, think about these things and feel guilty about not playing harder. Or, yep. And so we see all of those things in the moment. And Julie Chen's not doing that. She's focused on other things, you know.
She needs to start ending her shows with like, and I'm Julie Chen Moonves, and remember, stab your allies in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's what Julie needs to do.
But they need a host change.
Yeah. The more you push the narrative, the more you reward that kind of gameplay, the more the jury is going to feel okay, this is how it's like kind of supposed to be played. The more accepting they are of this kind of gameplay, the more willing they're to reward that kind of gameplay, which means it's going to be celebrated even more, which means people are going to do it more, and it snowballs from there. And that's what we saw on the show. Like we talk about it all the time, Hatch with Survivor and Dr. Will for Big Brother, they kicked it off. They were rewarded for this kind of gameplay and they started the whole show. And then in Big Brother, it's started to kind of slow down. But they kept rewarding things, and like Drew in season 5 cuts Diane. Diane, his showmance, and wins the game. That sets a tone. It sets a tone, and it lasts for a while. And the last, you know, 5 years of Big Brother, the tone has been set so much. Don't just play loyal game, loyal soldier, win some comps, you'll win.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not Big Brother if we're not if well, at least it's not Big Brother if, you know, we're not rewarding a certain type of gameplay. And for people who've just been watching and taking it in the way it is the last 5 years, it makes sense that they'd want to align with that. But I feel like so much of it beyond the casting is how do we change the game dynamic? And that's not our job, thankfully. But how do we change the game to make it compelling and interesting and backstabbing left and right? Like, we could see this could happen, but the game doesn't really serve that purpose. And
yeah, they need to make more of an incentive to do these things right exactly. Now, like you're saying, in the meta, there's such an incentive to just say, well, if I stick with my ally, it tends to work often. So they're more inclined to do that. They need to put something in so that there's more of a reward, or at least right. A potential in a risk reward situation to cut your ally and make big moves. Because right now there's just not.
All right. Well, I do have a small update from what I was reading on Twitter. So take this with a grain of salt here. During this podcast, apparently Cody was talking to the cameras about how he did not fully trust Nicole to take him to the final two. He's actually rooting for Enzo to win part two of the final three HOH, which to me is at least a small indicator of where his head is at when it comes to who he will take if he wins the final three HOH. If he feels that Enzo is more loyal to him, less likely to stab him in the back, I think he is more likely to take Enzo to the final two.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes sense.
That's good for us because that's a competitive final two. I still think Enzo has a shot. Do I think he'll win? No. If he's sitting next to Cody, no, I don't think he'll win. But I think he could find five votes with a good performance at the end.
Mm-hmm. Does Enzo study though?
I mean, yeah, he studies. He's just not great at it.
Does it really matter though?
Cody? I mean, well, Cody's the favorite to win the first game. So then round two is Nicole, who studies 8 hours a day against Enzo. And I feel like she's just like got that on lock.
Well, so, I mean, Enzo has a chance in part two. Okay. Last season, it was a rock wall and the questions were super easy.
So oh, that's fair. Yeah.
It was just about who could climb the thing faster. And Enzo's a tall guy. Like he's wiry. Like he could definitely climb a wall faster than Nicole can. So if the questions are really easy, then I could easily see him winning part two. But, you know, that said, Nicole has shown that she can dominate Enzo in these quiz/athletic competitions. So if the competition has any kind of like difficulty involved when it comes to the questions, then I think that that Enzo's just like out of it. I think Nicole just like dominates him. So. And it's not like Nicole's a slouch in these athletic things. I think she can keep up with Enzo physically easily. So we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. I think that's what we have for you tonight. We had a silly recap and, you know, talking big
Honey,
picture here.
Let's
in
be
the
real.
Spoilers.
Like after that episode, we made lemonade out of lemons. Let's
do it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, sneezes out of the, there's something there about noses and I we'll come back to it. It's on Twitter. Someone else is posting it.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it season 20 that, that was about, it was Angela with smells, like Tyler smelled like a baby.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Am I crazy?
Thank you for bringing that back up to us.
Yeah. I did not need to hear that again.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm interested to see. There's a Friday episode this week, isn't there?
There is.
They have to fill three more episodes this week, and we got they got more sneezing segments up their sleeve.
Honey, I did not know there was a Friday episode, so I looked at because we have the master schedule for Rob as a Podcast, and I saw that there was a Friday show, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, where did that come from? And then I looked at the TV guide, and I was like, ooh, a Friday show. That should be fun. So is that like a recap? Or
it's time
is
for a recap of the recap.
Yes.
Oh, we just did a practice one right now.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, no. I hope we'll make it. I really hope we'll make it without crying through the week. And honestly, if anyone's struggling through this, it's okay. We're here for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Again, of course, I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Tomorrow night, we'll have the Stockwatch Roundtable. We're going to rate these players, update the prices on the Stockwatch. We'll also go through where we think the jury votes will fall. And I will also include a question for who you would like to vote for America's favorite player. So make sure you vote in the survey for that one. You can find it on my Twitter at Armstrong Taren. I will be tweeting it out tomorrow morning after the update. That's when you can find it. So look for it there. Of course, Wednesday, Rob should be back to recap the Wednesday night episode. And then on Thursday, we'll be live to recap the eviction, where we will likely see Christmas leaving the house here on Big Brother 22. And then it's just six more days after that. Just six more days. So you can find me again on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Brent, where can people find you?
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out. O-N-E.
All right. Matt, where can people find you?
Matt Scott, GW. That's like GW could stand for great win. We're going to have a great win at the end of this season. Cody's going to be so great at winning. He's a great player, Brent. He's really great. So Matt Scott, GW.
I was trying to think of something that knows that could be GW. Good wafts of smell.
You really
that was not
that
good. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Gazoontight. That's not
good. Gazoontight.
Ah, there you go.
All right, Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me at Mel Halst tweeting nose puns. That'll be my thing now, I guess. I don't know. I won't be tweeting about the stock watch because I am way out. I mean, on Christmas this week. Ooh. I had to go for that. Well, what else was I going to do? Buy Cody? Like, I'm bought 3,000. I had to do something.
Yeah, that's a good way to play. Yeah.
I went for it. Yep. Yeah. I should have known better. Should have just bought Cody the whole time. Oh, well. Seriously. Still fun. Still fun to play the stock watch. It was just a practice game. Just we'll do better next time.
Okay. There's plenty of other content on Rob Has a Podcast, so make sure you check all of that out. I don't have fancy slides for you, but there's lots of stuff. 90 Day Fiance was a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing, but it's probably
it's
existing.
Thing. Masked Singer.
The Amazing Race.
Amazing Race.
There's a lot of Amazing Race content because there's no Survivor and there's not a lot of Big Brothers. So we got Amazing Race out the yin yang.
The Amazing Race exit interview. Very funny. Go listen.
Amazing Race, like pit stop or whatever. Like,
yes. Tar pit.
Yes. Out the yin yang.
Yes. American Ninja Warrior. We recapped the first four episodes of the new season. I did that with Lita.
Karen, what percentage of that podcast was talking about the show?
I mean, at least 10.
At least 10. Maybe 15. It was great. It was really fun.
Yeah. Great stuff. So check all of that out. And of course, make sure to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast so you can support these shows. It's very, very important. Helps out the show quite a bit. So you can find it there on Rob's website. There's going to be a patron button. Also, guys, go and vote.
Yeah, vote. It's time. You got to do it.
It's time.
There's an election happening. Yeah. And Rob would normally be here to tell us, with his bossy pants on, that we need to get out there and vote and make sure our voices are heard. That's what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
I also did it by voting, and I hope you do it too.
When you think about, like, okay, who am I voting for America's favorite player, then also go, you know what? That was that. I need to vote in the election as well. Okay.
Yes.
Just going to remember both of them.
Different people, though. That's what I would say.
You can. I mean, you can write in.
Can you write in Davon Rogers for president? I live in Kentucky.
No.
I live in Kentucky, so you
do that on your practice paper, not your real vote.
One of the candidates, I won't say who, is probably going to win Kentucky by 25 points. So, whatever.
All right. Well,
but maybe you can make it 24 points.
Yes.
I don't know how points work. I'm just assuming that's right.
Rock the vote.
Yes. Go and vote. Don't write in somebody.
Bad idea.
And thank you guys so much for joining us today. And we will see you next time.